following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
First, True Car, 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? Well, you can get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car, use your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details come popping on up. Answer a few questions, and then you'll get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Take that bad boy, march it right on in, and take yourself and your car into your local True Car dealer, and they'll check it out with you. They'll do it together. Ask questions, get answers. No surprises. Then you leave with a check in hand, or you trade that bad boy in for a new car or a used car. So whatever you like, new ride, used ride, check, Uber home, whatever. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for August 31st, 2019, the show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show over 10 years of podcasting. We're playing some clips for you. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and that is Corolla Archivist Superfan Giovanni.
It's so early.
We are recording this very early. I'm going to Portland, Gio. You're very flexible with your schedule and my traveling schedule. I guess we're both flexible because we have to deal with Adam's traveling schedule.
I'm a little more flexible.
You're a little more flexible. I appreciate it though, man. We got some great clips ahead. So let's get into it. This first one is a listener request. And just a reminder, if you want to request a clip, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. Let us know what you want to hear on the show. We also have other ways to get a hold of us too. Instagram, Facebook, text, tap on the shoulder. This one's an email. It's from Ross, and he writes, "Dear Gio, loving the classics, discovered the ACS after hearing Adam on Rogan. I've heard stories of the mythical Ray, Donnie, and Chris, but never them live. Thanks for all your hard work. Greetings from Melbourne, Australia. Cheers, Ross." Gio, what do we got?
Good
for
pronunciation
Ross?
Of Melbourne.
Melbourne, I think impressed. That's what you say,
that's
right?
Good.
Thanks.
Yeah. We actually have exactly what Ross is looking for. Adam Carolla Show 105, the most demanded guests on the old message board, the fan run one, were Chris and Ray. And Donnie happened to be the producer at the time, so all three of them there. This is Adam Carolla Show 105, Ray, Chris, and Donnie. This is from July of 2009. It's hilarious. It features some of the best old stories, and I wanted to cut this episode up and just use a small clip, but it was so funny I couldn't touch it. So I just chopped off the first half. You're hearing it today, and you'll hear the second half tomorrow. It's a little bit of a cliffhanger, and you get some of the best Ray, Chris, and Donnie stories. And they're in a really rare mood where everybody's laughing uncontrollably.
Put those Rambinis on. Ray, Chris, and Donnie, the Adam Carolla Show.
By popular demand, two of the guys most requested on the message board, my good buddy Chris Bohm.
Hello, hello.
And Ray Oldhofer.
Hi.
I've known these guys a combined 65 years, maybe 70 years. Ray, I met in the fifth grade, maybe a little before that, because you went to the school across the street from my house that you affectionately called the Barn. And Chris, I met, I think, my third year of Pop Warner football. So we go way back.
Sixth
and
grade.
It wasn't like I was just friends with these guys separately. We were all friends together. So the trials and the tribulations were all spent together. So let's take a little walk down memory lane because people want to get everyone together. And people have wanted to get Ray on this podcast for quite some time.
Glad to be here.
Chris and I, Chris and I talked a few podcasts ago about meeting, playing a little Pop Warner football. Ray and I met, I guess, in the fifth grade.
I think it was because you went to that retard school for a while.
It was a hippie school.
Oh yeah, that too.
it was a free range school, and we lived next door to the junior high, or I should say, to
elementary.
The grade school, the elementary school.
And we played basketball before. And
yeah,
we used to spy on Max Turex.
Used to hop over the fence and play basketball over there. And Ray had a lot of questions as a young lad. Like, why
Doesn't your mom shave her armpits? Why is your lawn so high?
And why do you sleep in a cabinet?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Why was my room so small? Well, you don't realize like how naive kids asking just simple questions like, why are you so fat? Or why is your house so ugly? Or why is your lawn so high? Or why don't you shave your armpits?
Or why do I feel so uncomfortable right now?
Right. How many of those just basic why questions? And by the way, thousands. Do you ever, all the times you ask those humiliating questions...
Did you ever expect
to get an answer?
Well, of course.
I see a guy with a huge nose, I think to myself, you have a huge nose. But I don't think to ask him, why do you have a huge nose?
Well, not now, but when you were a kid, you would.
No, even when I was a kid, I would have asked
you had that discretion.
Why do you have a huge nose? I would assume he had a huge nose because that's the way the Lord made him, and he didn't choose it, and there was nothing... You know, when a guy, Ray, you would ask people if they had pockmarks on their face, if they, anything they had, if they were 10 pounds overweight, whatever it was, you would go, why?
I'm fucking leaving.
Why are you this way? And it was like, I'm depressed and I can't mow my lawn. That's the answer. I can't shave my armpits. Why does your mom not shave her armpits? And I remember just thinking, ugh.
Do you remember your mom's armpits, though? They were like 2.5 inches long.
My mom would not shave her armpits.
They were like, and she just had that one clump, and then they zoomed out from there.
And they'd be all sweaty and get all matted down.
Say, Adam.
Yeah, if someone had a zit, Ray would be, how's that zit doing?
Why do you have a zit? How's that?
You want me to pop that? You trying to grow a horn?
What are you two doing?
Trying to grow a horn?
Yeah.
If you were in high school and you got the zit on your forehead, Ray walked right up to you. What's up with that zit? What's going on with your zit?
Chris tried to fuck you, but you were on your period.
Oh, Ray.
Where was Ray? How did you start secrets?
Yeah, we can jump right into secrets, eh?
what are you talking about?
Blockage, all kinds of good secrets Ray would let out of the can.
What are you saying, Stoney?
Let's get into a story.
All right.
Okay. Let Ace lead it. He's the pro.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, but this is selective memory.
All right, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong about any of this stuff. There was the time you punched out the liquor store window. That was kind of funny. But there was a... But that was justified.
You and Chris
dating the same girl for a while, and then the truth coming out about that.
Wait, what about that before.
When Ray
put his penis in Irene's friend's mom's ear.
Kathy.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
She made
the mistake of sitting down in Ray's mom's apartment.
She was talking on
the phone.
And she had a crush on Adam.
And Ray put his dick in her ear.
And how old are you, Ray? How old are you?
16.
This is the same woman
she
you
laughed.
Said.
This is the same woman that fucked my brother. Are you kidding me? she banged Rob.
She was a heavy set woman.
Oh, is this the one that also that
yeah.
Ray?
She was about 5'4". 240.
Now,
she played the hockey league.
Remember when I remember my first introduction to her?
Adam thinks she could play a guard for the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she said. She had calves on her.
She came into Ray's apartment, started yelling at her son, and then went in the next room. Nicanor.
And I
turned over to Ray. I was like, who is that woman? Man, she could play guard for the Rams. And then she came right back in the room, and Ray said, I want you to meet my friend Adam, Kathy. He says you can play guard for the Rams.
That's exactly what we're talking about. But what about
what about Rob sleeping with her, though? How weird is that?
My favorite is when Ray asked his mom, who has a bigger cock, Jim or Dad?
Oh.
In front of Jim? Or not in front of Jim?
Oh. Bonnie, we're almost a year ago today where my mom passed, you jerk.
But still, you did ask your mom who had a bigger cock, your dad or her new boyfriend.
And her reply was, Jim has more girth.
And Ray, you would carry that picture around of your mom's first romance in Germany and say, this is the guy that took my mom's virginity.
I met him when we went back to Germany. He's still in the same town, and we all took a picture. They're like little, they're like cherubic little, they look like gnomes. So we all took a picture together. Wouldn't you want to know who took your mom's virginity?
No. 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 No.
I think my mom's still a virgin.
No.
So when I met Ray, I guess my parents were divorced. I guess I was living in the barn, which was a house that was falling apart.
Oh.
I mean, that house was dilapidated, was it not?
Oh, man. It was bad.
It was comfy, cozy.
No.
It had two front doors right next to each other at 90 degrees.
Yeah, you wouldn't know which one to go through.
Exactly.
And it was the roof was falling off, the porch. I remember, here's how cheap and stupid my family is. The porch was always falling apart. The porch was always all busted up and falling apart. And my grandfather, at some point, decided to rebuild the front porch, except for... And this is, let me explain Pennywise and Pound Foolish. He rebuilt the front porch buying used lumber. Now, I didn't know you could buy used lumber, but he bought used lumber that was from a pier that caught on fire. The boards were
charred,
uneven, charred, and had termite damage.
Oh.
And he proceeded to build the world's shittiest, most uneven, trip over the boards at night because everything was uneven, pile of shit porch. And then we lived with the pile of shit porch for another 15 years until... And by the way, you think, who the hell ever rebuilt this porch? You know what I mean? It was my stepdad's dad, who was a contractor in Texas, came out for a vacation and actually rebuilt the porch.
John's dad?
Yeah, my stepdad, John's dad, rebuilt the porch. But I'm just saying, my entire childhood was the busted up, charred
pier.
Yeah,
you got to be careful walking across
that thing. What was in the front?
Thing.
It was lattice.
Yeah. It was something weird. That house was a pile of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was falling apart my whole childhood. And then Ray always lived in an apartment. And you know what? I don't know if it was a different time or how it worked, but I had no idea that was such a loser thing, you know? I thought it was kind of normal for people to live in apartments. Like, I knew plenty of kids had parents who lived in apartments.
I'm still doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying,
your parents lived in apartments. Your mom lived in an apartment her entire life, right?
Absolutely.
And your dad lived in apartments at the end, he retired out to Thousand Oaks or something,
got a house out in Orange County and died there.
In an apartment.
He died in the apartment.
And Chris.
I'm an orphan.
You started an apartment.
I was in an apartment until I was 12.
Then Kling.
Then you got into a house for about 2-3 years.
Couple of years and then back
to an
apartment.
Beckoned.
On Kling.
Oh.
Same street.
Come back.
Oof.
And, I was talking about the apartment. And
you never lived in an apartment as a child.
Yeah, I did. My dad, when he moved out, moved into an apartment on Laurel Canyon.
But then you moved in that other weird house. You've lived in weird houses.
No, he had a weird Laurel Canyon place for a minute.
Yeah, he had an apartment for a couple of years on Laurel. Which, by the way,
Oxnard.
Here's how you know your house is a pile of shit. The shitty one-bedroom apartment on Laurel in North Hollywood is nicer than the house.
Sure. Yeah.
It was definitely nicer than my mom's house and nicer than my dad's first house, the A-frame.
The A-frame right.
house. But
that was a weird house.
The thing about the apartments, and I never really thought about this, I guess it's sort of like, public housing. Here's what you have, and here's what Chris had in his second apartment. Especially when you get into the multi-unit deal, when you get into like anything over 12 units,
right? When it's 30 units,
you
live in the round.
You have broken families, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Ray was the only married family I ever knew it was dumb enough to live in an apartment. Everyone else is.
I'm German. I'm not Polish.
It's divorce. You know what I mean? Everything's a product of divorce. So
broken people.
So here's what you have.
Chris lived in an apartment, which was one of those kind that had the courtyard in the middle, little courtyard, and then 30 units right next to each other. I mean, yep. You'd open your kitchen window, you'd be looking right into your neighbor's kitchen window.
Exactly.
And everyone kind of knew what was going on and knew everyone else's business. You couldn't help it. You were like right on top of each other.
Right.
Literally on top of each other, or at least across from each other. So now you got a bunch of divorced families. You got the moms that are going to work. So they ain't around. You got the latchkey kids, and yep. The kids are running wild. And they're all about the same age, because everyone makes it till about 13, about 12, 13. Then they get the divorce.
Right.
And then they all move into the shitty apartment together.
Yep.
And they're all emotionally troubled, because they come from crappy families, and they saw their parents fighting for the last 5 years, and the dad's an alcoholic, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now you put them all together into one barracks, essentially. Just
freaking
like
commune.
One
yeah.
crazy commune.
Yeah.
And there's,
call it a commune.
And there's no supervision. There's no supervision because all the moms work till 6:30 at night because there's no dads around.
Right.
So there's no real supervision and there's no voice of authority. And then the moms have to work because they got to hustle because they're divorced and they got a couple kids to raise. So now you have all these kids that are either coming home at 3 in the afternoon or not going to school at all.
I'd go long enough till she went to work and come back home.
Right.
I mean, you know,
you'd cut out at 7:45, act like you're going somewhere with a peachy folder.
Exactly.
Your mom would cut out at 8:20 and you'd circle right back.
Smoke some pot at the corner
right.
and come
and
back.
And not only that, you got a bunch of screwed up boys, a bunch of screwed up girls, and they're all living in the same place, and it just becomes a drug and sex party.
Wait, hey, Chris, did you lose your virginity in one of those apartments or something?
I did. What's that?
It was some older lady, right? What was
well,
that?
No. It was a regular high school relationship. It was soon
after. Did Carrie take your
that.
Virginity?
Yes, she did.
Oh, it was Carrie.
She stole it from me.
Wait, what am I thinking? Oh, the mother daughter.
I took her.
Wait, what am I thinking of? What am right. I thinking of?
Ray, don't bring names up. You're thinking of
no,
you're
I know
thinking you of the mother-daughter team that
yeah.
Chris had some fun Kling. With.
Right.
That
but
was
that,
actually after
that
you
was
out.
soon after my high school relationship, I started an older woman relationship, and it was just yeah, like Adam said, it was just infested with there's, you know, there's a story in every apartment. There's the 37-year-old divorced biker dude that did a few years in the can for, you know, whatever. And then there's single mothers, and then there's single, you know, then there's just single ladies washed up from every single reach of Loserville living in these apartments. And so everybody's got a little common ground, so everybody automatically kind of likes each other.
Yeah, and everyone smokes pot, everyone
right.
gets high, everyone drinks, everyone fucks. Like,
yeah.
there's no A students that are in there who
no.
don't smoke weed or anything like that. So
not
you guys,
a one.
You quickly start figuring out that the dude upstairs is cool and he'll smoke you out. And the
yeah.
chick three halls
hang
down will give you a blowjob.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it just becomes one big cesspool, right? This is kind of like prison with no guards or warden or anything, right?
It is bad. It's just a horrible thing to have to go to do, you know, for, you know, a parent or anybody or by choice. I mean, you move in there because that's
you know, what you refer to those days as glory days.
Those were the salad days. You know
what are you saying?
If you have
in
to
retrospect.
Move, you know what you should do? If you ever, you know, fall on hard times, anyone is listening, and you and your kid or kids got to move out, move into an apartment or whatever, don't move into one of those big unit jobs.
Yeah.
Move into like a four-unit
yeah.
job
Tri-flex.
With like the ropers living above you and a gay couple living next door. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
do
right.
not move into that big old just den of sin. Yeah, yeah. Ray lived in an apartment who started off with a small unit, then moved into the big unit job. Yeah. Now, do you remember, and again, more troublemakers in there. One of my favorite stories about Ray in that apartment is, do you remember when your mom told us to take the garbage out?
Oh, yeah. Todd. No, we took out the garbage, and it was, I thought you were right behind me.
Yeah, Ray's mom
that was
handed
great.
Ray at night. Well, tell the story right, Ray. Come on.
No, go ahead. You're on it.
handed
two garbage bags.
Handed Ray a thing of garbage and said, "Ray, throw this away," in a German accent.
"This away.
God throw this away.
Ray. God damn it, Ray. What the fuck?"
And the garbage was in a weird position. It was down. It was a long, skinny driveway that just ran the length of the thing, and then immediate 90 degree, and there was the
way
dumpster.
Out front, not much lighting.
Out. It was dark with no lighting. And then she handed me the second thing of garbage, and she told me to go throw it away. Except for some reason, I got delayed talking to her. So Ray went walking down there first and thought I was coming right behind him, but I wasn't coming right behind him. And then I did start coming down there, and all I heard was like cans flying and this woman yelling, "Oh, shit!" And Ray...
I thought it would be scary.
Ray hid by the dumpster... hid in the dark shadows of the dumpsters at night. And one of the women, and she was 5'2", 102 pounds, like the smallest woman you've ever seen, was going down
and to sweet empty, as all get
going
out
down
there.
To empty her garbage. And Ray didn't jump out and do like boo. Ray jumped out and wow, you know, and she just fucking threw her garbage in the air and screamed, "Oh shit.
Jesus Christ. You're going to give me a heart attack."
I've never heard that one. Ray. You never heard that one?
No.
I mean, Ray just screamed at her.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just flying. Ray was 220 pounds, can fly right out of the thing, waving his arms around.
Ray, what about when we were at the Mulholland Club that one night? And actually, I wasn't there, but you went down the street and you saw two people getting it on.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Ray,
Let's talk about Ray running down the hill there with his bare feet.
The lead-in is Ray's running down barefoot, right?
Oh, good. Adam's got to tell it, though. That was good stuff.
No, was Adam even there?
No,
I was there when he ran down that...
About when I popped you.
Yeah,
we
saw the two gay guys getting it on.
Oh,
you ruined it. You ruined it.
Well, I had to prove I was there.
Oh,
Ray.
I cut my feet and everything.
Ray, I don't know why Ray didn't want to wear shoes, but man, when we broke into the... the Mulholland Club was a rocky. It was rough terrain. It was a peak of a mountain. It was a rocky mountain that you could scale up if you used your hands. But man, it was sharp on your hands. And
was the first entrance too. Was climbing it up, not going to the parking lot, right?
You'd have to climb up the street. We used to break club at night, and you'd go in.
It's like the Everest of the valley.
It's so weird because I was talking to Artie Lang in here, and Artie Lang's dad broke his neck. He became a paraplegic. Yeah, falling off a ladder. But he said that the reason he fell off the ladder is because he took the ladder and he put it up onto a picnic table, and then the ladder fell off the picnic table. And when we used to go in the Mulholland Club, we would stack two picnic tables. They weren't picnic tables. They were just round umbrella tables.
Two picnic tables.
Leaning and wobbling.
And chair. Then navigate that. Climb up on the chair and then grab the conduit. Jump and grab onto the flashing. Then help the other guys
to
up.
To get onto the roof. That's how you got on the roof. But we were breaking into this place one night. And I don't know why, Ray, you decided to run barefoot down the side of the cliffy, rocky mountain that then just led out to asphalt that had a bunch of rocks on it.
You don't remember why? I'll tell you why.
You were mad.
Why I ran?
Something.
Because fucking Chris was making out with my girlfriend.
Oh, that's why.
You don't remember that one?
Oh, it was so good.
I remember you were angry.
Were you running like,
oh, Ray,
I love you. That really hurt my heart. But
his girl wanted me.
Who was that?
Vicky.
Oh, yeah. Ray was very emotional.
Yeah, her name,
too. Yeah, he was angry, and he ran barefoot down and cut his feet all up.
Cut my feet up.
And then it was another night you walked down the street and saw a gay couple like through the window getting it on.
Yeah.
In the car.
No, they were in their house. They were having
it. Oh, yeah, the window. You walked down. I remember.
They were doggy was doggy.
Yeah, but Ray thought that they were. It was
doggy
like,
was scary.
He thought it was a guy and a girl.
Well, didn't everybody else?
You started yelling when you saw it was two gay guys.
It's two dudes. It's two dudes.
What happened afterwards?
We went we were, you know, a little homophobic, so we threw a boulder in their yard.
Oh,
but they came outside and they were like,
and they saw us. Yeah, they came there and they were big dudes. They weren't like, they weren't the push around days.
Hey,
they were the kick ass days.
I mean, these guys,
they would have raped me.
These guys were getting it on with like the
vigor.
The curtains were wide open.
And it was wide open to the street.
And the lights on, and Ray just wandered down the street and he's like, somebody's getting it on. And then when he, but see, here's what I'm saying, right?
Then we got caught, though.
Remember,
but
we were,
I pointed
well, hold on. Remember we were talking earlier about how if someone had a zit on their forehead, they would know they had a zit on their forehead, and you wouldn't have to ask why you got the zit on the forehead, or if they were fat or had a big nose, you wouldn't have to ask why. The point is you thought you were watching a couple get it on, a man and a woman. And then when you found out it was two guys, instead of just walking back to the car, you had to yell out loud, "It's two guys!
It's two guys! Two dudes!"
Well, I had to warn everybody. I mean, that visual is not something you want to take in. You guys should be thanking me.
I got to
go pee.
Oh, my gosh. That was good.
What about Tijuana? And sticky rice. I think that's where
I got so drunk.
Ray never really went to TJ. You never went.
We went with the Jews.
Yeah,
Chris went. Well, the Jews were in school, and I'm the dummy. We go and visit the Jews.
Donnie, you're
college.
A Jew.
Chris,
I'm the dummy Jew.
Chris,
I'm the Jew.
Well, we went to TJ. Chris passed out.
Oh, the carry over the border.
When we were playing machine gun over the border.
We had to carry you over the border.
Yeah.
You were passed out. We had to shove you in the back of a car. Well, the first thing you did, and this was like out of a movie, and it was just so, you have about two or three of these in your life. It was so satisfying. We had a goofy friend named Rudy.
Yeah.
And Rudy was just a fuck up. And
yep.
He was a good guy, but he drank a little too much. He'd black out, and he would wake up chained to hospital beds.
He would turn into
another dude. He'd turn into another dude. And we all decided in Tijuana we should buy a bottle of tequila, mezcal tequila with the worm in it, and bring it back with us across the border. And we're all drunk, and we're all walking back to the borders, me and Snake,
Todd,
and Rudy, and Chris. And was it Tom Dent?
Yes.
It was Darky Dent.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother story. So we're all walking back to the border.
Woodcock.
We're walking back to the border.
Woodcock.
We're walking back to the border, and Rudy, who's the goofball of the group, he drops his bottle of tequila, and it breaks right there on the cement on the sidewalk, walking back to the border. And then Chris does one of the most satisfying things ever. Chris, who's drunk, goes, "Durr, I'm Rudy." And he pretends to fumble his bottle and drops it. And started stomping on the glass.
Oh, I was so mad.
That's worse than when you got pulled over, when you got your DUI, and you had a fucking sock in
a
whiskey container.
Right, different story, but I did get a DUI, and I had a whiskey with the sock
for
a cap.
Keep on Tijuana for a second, though.
Well, now, what happened was, is once we crossed the border into San Diego, we were actually on the border, which is this windy, walk it up kind of thing, and then walk across the road bridge and wind it down. Yeah, it's one of those things you see when they cross the freeways. And we just decided to play Border Patrol. And we were like running and laughing and running and laughing. And then all of a sudden we just turn around and look. And there was Chris just, boom, flopped out on the cement.
Yeah, I remember playing machine gun doing a little, you know, shooting at
the guy.
And
Chris was just flopped out onto the cement. And then I remember we walked over. And this is the difference between men and women. Like women would have went like, somebody call an ambulance. But I remember Todd walked over to you, who's Snake, and first thing he did is he just kicked you. And like, and not hard, like just kicked him. Like, come on, see
if you're
up.
Right.
And the next one is, I think he hawked a loogie on you to like see if you're faking.
Right.
And then when it found out you weren't faking, we had to lift you up, all 200 pounds of you, and put you on my back. And we had to push you and get you in the back of Tom. Tom had,
oh, what was that
Tom
car?
Had like a 79 Toyota Celica GT or something. And
yeah,
that not no
right.
not the GT just it was like
must have been just like a 79 or 80. That thing was a small little hatchback.
Weird hatchback thing.
And you guys, you forget what it's like to get into the back of a hatchback. Because cars don't hatchback like they used to hatchback.
No.
Those hatchbacks were hatchbacks, man.
Yeah.
And if you're a big dude, you couldn't fit, your head couldn't fit back there.
You couldn't get behind that front seat to get back there.
Right. And we were all big dudes, and we got Chris back. He was passed out the entire time.
Yeah.
We got into the back of the car. We started driving to a motel. And then at some point, he just popped up and he said, you remember what he said, Chris?
Boys, Captain, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice.
There's an Uncle Ben's commercial where the guy said, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice, where they're on a, they're on a paddle boat.
Yeah.
And it was from like 4 years earlier, too.
Yeah.
So Chris popped up. He said, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice. And he woke up and he was up for a few minutes, and we got him up to the hotel room, and then I plopped him down onto the bed, and he was gone again.
Yeah.
He was passed out once more.
Well, you walked into the bathroom.
The part that was funny is I walked into the bathroom.
After getting Chris set up.
I got you set up on the bed. Yeah. It was one of those cheap motel rooms where the bed is higher than it is wide. Yeah. Where it's like 2 feet wide and 3.5 feet high. Those weird single super high beds you got to jump up on. And there was two of them, and there was four or five of us. So we had to kind of figure out who was on the floor and what was going on. And I was just brushing my teeth in the bathroom, and I heard this kaboomp.
Yeah.
And I walked back around, and there was Tom lying on the bed watching TV right where you were on your bed. He just rolled you right off, right onto the floor.
ButcherBox. Right now, new members get 6 burgers for free in every box you receive until October 15th. This is summer's best offer. Get it before it expires. Of course, ButcherBox provides 100% healthy, grass-fed, finished beef, free-range, organic chicken, heritage breed, pork, wild Alaskan salmon direct to your door monthly. It is so exciting when the boxes show up. It's all ready to cook. Choose from 4 curated boxes or customize your own box. Each comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. Oh, man, Vinny Tortorich is so happy with this. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Sorry, no Alaska, Hawaii, but no commitment, and you can cancel anytime. This stuff is so great, and some of these, the meat is just delicious.
It's
when you get
better.
It as well.
It's better than it needs to be.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I don't mean that in a cynical way. I just mean, like, the stuff is better than you'd think.
It's really good. And, just think about the fillets, my God. For $20 off your first box, and the burgers, too. You get that package of 6 burgers and $20 off your first box. Burgers are free, $20 off in every box all summer long until October 15th, just by going to butcherbox.com/ADS or enter ADS at checkout at butcherbox.com.
All right, we're back. That was Ray, Chris, and Donnie. Part 2 coming up tomorrow. I actually first met both Ray, Chris, and Donnie, actually all 3 of them, at Adam's Shakespeare. That's Shakes and then B-E-E-R, the beverage.
Yes.
Not Shakespeare. I say that all the time. You're like, what do you mean Shakespeare? It's like, well, Shakespeare. It was an event where inner city youth were benefited with a Shakespeare program for their school by people coming out to Adam's house and drinking beer. And we all did that. We went out. Ray, Chris, and Donnie were all there. I got pictures with everybody. And Chris tried to sell me one of Adam's old motorcycles he got as like a gift for some event. Huh. I think he gave it to Chris, and then Chris wanted to sell it to me. I think he wanted like $20,000. I was like, I don't know how to ride a motorcycle. I'll probably die. I don't think I should die on Adam Carolla's gifted motorcycle he doesn't want.
Yeah. I love those guys, and I look forward to hearing tomorrow's show. This next clip featuring Natasha Leggero and Dr. Drew. And Dr. Bruce.
Dr. Bruce. Yeah, Dr. Bruce was also on this episode. It's Adam Carolla Show 1812. This is from May of 2016. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, of course. Adam and Tosh are talking about roasts, with Adam doing the Alec Baldwin roast. It felt appropriate. Drew literally bursts into the studio, even though you guys are trying to keep him out because he wants to be in the studio with Tosh because he's a huge fan. And they riff about men, male gynecologists, and Adam has a funny beard family idea. All around hilarious chunk of this episode, and I wanted to include it.
I love it.
I do it.
Oh, you put Vicks Vapor Rub? Like
I shove it up. I shove it up there.
Like if you have to go to West LA or like downtown and walk around.
God forbid.
If I have to deal with any of the 99, any of the 99%ers, pretty much, I don't have to go to like a homeless encampment. Just anybody who's not in my, you know,
you don't
sphere.
Have to walk out of this room.
No, I actually, whenever I race a car, I do it because it always smells like asbestos brake pads and burnt rubber and everything else. But also, it's kind of like wakes you up.
It's kind of like your version of, remember, the nose strips, like Jerry Rice used to athletes
the
used to wear.
The
breathe rights. You know what I mean? Yeah, the strips.
Yeah, it keeps you sort of like...
Opens up the
It wakes you up. It's like taking cold water and slapping yourself in the face with it or something.
But
it's
what's just, snuff? Because that was something they actually did at the turn of the century. That was like a drug, right?
Yeah, I think that was more...
Like cocaine almost?
I think I feel like it's somewhere between tobacco and
tobacco.
Cocaine.
It's powdered tobacco.
Powdered tobacco,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you put it in your nose?
Yeah,
that feels nice.
Yeah, that was just
chomping on gum.
It's a little nicotine kind of rush.
It's a quick little rush.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Drew just walked in. Dr. Drew's a huge fan of Natasha.
Oh, no way. I'm such a fan of his.
You can't.
Easy Drew. We called him once.
He's begging you to let him meet
Natasha. We called him once, and you guys had like an amazing conversation. I don't know if you remember.
One time
I was here.
Drew's dying to come in, but now he's not. He's not coming in.
He's shy.
Okay, so Drew was at an event. Drew was at a charity.
I was going to say he dresses like this on a Sunday. It's so nice.
It's just his knock-around clothes.
Drew just got back from a charity event.
Well, I'm on a board, dude.
Oh, he's on a board, dude.
Yeah, board for the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Very exciting.
Sorry, but they had an event. Yes, Drew.
Yes, yes. Well, no, they didn't. It was really strictly a board meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why are you getting all gussied up for
because
board meeting?
Because I'm knee to knee with Michael Milken, and he's all like
that. Who's that?
Big money bags.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're asking people for money. That's your outfit you wear when you ask for money?
No. It's his board. It's very important.
He's a junk bonds guy.
His name's on a lot of buildings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm such a fan. I've become a fan of female, not just comedians, but comedic actresses. And I thought to myself, I saw you and went, I'm like Sweeney Todd or something. I'm checking stuff off. Oh, Nikki Glaser, check. Costanza, check. So anyway, I loved Another Period.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. When does it come back?
Season 2 starts June 15th. That's a show on Comedy Central that I created.
It's very, very good.
Thank you.
And the roasts are great as well.
Are they going to do another roast?
I don't know.
Who should they roast? I think roasting is kind of getting out of style.
Ooh.
Everyone's so like PC
afraid
and scared.
Ooh. I don't know. It's so satisfying. Like everyone has their type of humor per se. But everyone loves roast.
Yeah.
Not
you
everyone
like them, Drew? I bet he thinks they're too mean.
No, I kinda like them. I imagine what it'd be like to be the object of them. It'd be horrible. And I'm a big fan of Jeff Ross. I mean, he's a friend, I've been a friend for years. And it's so weird to me to see that the people that are the nastiest are usually kind of the nicest in real life.
Yeah.
It's a very strange sort of function of fact about roast, no?
Yeah, well, the...
And strangely, Adam's nicer on a roast.
Well, I was going to fuck you. No, what I was going to say is if you do a roast, it's not, you know, it's basically like living next to the Taliban headquarters that they're trying to bomb into Crete. You're getting it too.
Like shrapnel.
You're getting some friendly fire.
Some structural damage to your building.
The roast used to just be, hey, we're roasting Hugh Hefner and we'll just go after Hugh Hefner. And now you have to go after everyone on the dais. And then at the end,
you'll have a couple jokes.
You might have a couple left for whoever's being roasted. But I mean, it's really gotten to the point where it used to be pretty much 100% roast the person that's being roasted. It's now about 65-70% whoever came up before you, and then we get to, it's still funny as shit, but it's you're gonna get it. Dr. Drew, if you participated in a roast, you would not.
What would they say about him?
I did it once. I can't remember who it was. It was some sport.
Ooh.
It was Tom Arnold or something?
They'd call you a rapist, probably.
No.
Because, like, women are, like, whores or old, and men are rapists.
I'd be a drug addict rapist.
Yeah.
No.
Don't you know what I mean? They just kind of go for, like...
Yeah. You know what I'd like to do? Ooh. I could do this. I know Jeff Ross real well. I know Jimmy real
You're gonna
well.
You're going to pull me up there.
No.
No.
But, Drew, streak alive for you jumping in and not being correct.
100%.
No, I'm going to do... I'm, you know, obviously Jimmy tight with Jeff. I'm tight with Natasha. We're getting tighter by the second over here. I'm going to do what like a leader of like you know, a despot leader, mm-hmm. banana republic leader. You know, the guy who goes out and every time he plays golf, he comes back with a course record because he's got one of his minions scoring for him. Right. And they're everyone's scared.
Like the North Korean leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a roast for me. And every single... I'm going to pay every single... every single comedian who comes up there, and they're going to all going to get up there, and they're just going to go, Adam, what do you can you say? Super wide cock, and that's my, hey, there's Jimmy, not so wide, and Jeff, not so wide. Anyway, what else is there to say? Did I touch on the wide cock thing? All right, I'm kind of out.
No material.
That's out. All right, yeah, have a good night. And then the next guy will come up, and he'll just go, what can you say, man? He's...
You can
have
sell
we
it to
talked
CISO.
About the wide cock?
It'd be funny if the next guy came up and started crossing out jokes that he'd written before.
All right.
Because you always
now,
see the guys
obviously,
crossing out jokes.
They're all going to be wide cock related, but can we do different variations? Or because that's about it.
Can you short and wide?
And they're all just leaving. No. That,
no.
Drew doesn't.
Long and wide. Okay.
Drew doesn't. Okay. Gary checks his head. Get ready. Get used to it. But, and then they'll all just get up there, and then but the last person will go, look, obviously if the whole wide cock thing is off the table, then there's really, we should just wrap it up.
Safe, everybody.
Drive safe. Drive safe.
Let's all go out for a drink.
And that'll be it. And then I'll pay. I'll then buy airtime.
It'll be good.
On Comedy Central, and we'll run it.
That'd be a real hit.
That would be funny.
It would kind of be funny. Like, it just,
for about five
just
minutes.
A cooked.
It's a 5 minutes
ooh,
a short.
Ooh, we'll call it Adam Carolla's Cooked Roast.
Oh, I like what you did.
Well played.
Yeah. And you know, they'll touch on they'll,
not
they'll,
a cock roast? No.
A cock roast.
Well, that would give it away.
No, that would. Okay. True. Sit on every thought. Whatever thought.
You wanted to come in and impress Natasha.
Done it so far.
I'm impressed. But by the way, the roast... Oh, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I think they... apart from Justin Bieber, I think they usually do it for money. You know, like Joan Rivers said in her documentary, like she really didn't want to do it, but they...
Oh, they paid?
Yeah.
Oh, they pay.
Yeah, and like I think Trump did it for the money. He made like $500,000. Like they make a lot of money.
Oh, really?
To just sit there and take
like,
it.
I remember it was like $250,000, and I know someone who was his, you know, agent, and they like doubled it, and then he did it. You know, like I think it's like a money thing.
Oh.
But Justin Bieber, it was a reputation. Like I think he probably didn't need, I mean, obviously, he didn't need the money.
Well, he was doing like some damage control. Like, I'm a nice guy. I can sit here. I can do this.
Well, I think he did it to try to like show that he could take a joke.
Right, right.
You know, and I think it really helped him.
Yeah.
People, it was like a very highly rated roast, and it made everyone kind of see
respect
that he
him.
Could. Yeah.
There's a lot there, because when you've wandered this planet for 19 and a half years, there's just tons and tons, and you're from Canada.
Yeah, dude, if I got famous when I was 19, I would have been such a monster.
He was 14 or something.
Yeah,
YouTube
yes.
star.
No, I tell people all the time, how the hell would you turn out if
I
you
was
were...
a bitch then? I
and
was
you weren't
just
even
like,
famous.
Nobody
no,
was looking.
I was waiting to just like a reason to tell people off. I was so mean.
What'd you figure out about prostates, Drew?
We're curing prostate cancer. We need more money to get to the finish line. So
maybe they talked at the board meeting about what Dr. Bruce told us. Maybe
what?
That was the subject of the board meeting.
What?
Turns out frequent masturbation.
Ejaculation.
But we ejaculation,
improves.
But we've always said that.
Yeah.
Decreases your chances.
It's been bandied about for a while, right?
Generally, yeah.
Wait, prostate cancer is a result of...
It's just generally...
No.
Okay. Clearing the tube, clearing the pipes is generally
helps.
Good for your prostate.
I see, okay.
Yes.
Not a direct line to prostate. We're mostly curing stuff that's spreading and stuff. And
I have friends who've gotten it young.
I had prostate cancer. I think I know your friend that did it, but I had a prostatectomy like about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but I'm
big
curious.
Big operation.
Not.
Big operation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got rid of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Well, you check how often do they
every
do the
six
screen?
Months, and I'm 3 years out this
Ooh,
June.
So close.
I know. If you get to 5 years, you're considered
nice.
Good.
Oh,
so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I got to get the scope, right?
No. Well, you need the colonoscopy, but you need the finger and the blood test, too.
Last time. All right. I got the finger and the blood test. The last...
this is like men
worst,
talking about their period
worst
or
Neil
something.
Young song ever. I think I've only had the finger once, and it was like a comical thing where the guy went, all right, bend it over and drop the shorts. You know how this goes. And I was like, no, I don't.
I promise I don't.
He did the... He started putting his finger at my ass. And I don't know. It seems like bad decorum, right? We're like, we've all done this a thousand. Like, maybe you have, but certainly
how
not
much
me.
Humor is involved? What percentage of those exams involve some level of
a dinner joke?
Yeah. In the office? Yeah. Zero. I try to be zero. Because it's weird like that. If somebody tries to be jokey, it's like, no.
I'd imagine there would be some percentage.
As bad as I am at humor, even I.
Don't tempt this.
I had a lively discussion with the lady doctor about this in her miniature. Huh?
They're just doctors, just like a.
She was a lady. I'm pretty sure this one was a lady.
I'm all jacked up on prostitutes. She's a lady. Can I do, just 30 seconds on it, real quick.
Hold it. Thank you for.
There's lady businessmen. There's lady dentists.
Lady bus drivers.
They do everything now.
Yeah, sadly, yes. They're everywhere. I was in the lady doctor's office, and I bring that up because the finger up the fanny? Mm. Is it, most people have a preference, lady, dude, how strong a preference?
Which
I think
finger?
Most people just assume it's a dude doing it, but is it a lady? And then
probably more male urologists, I
could
believe.
Make an argument for either side pretty good, mm-hmm. depending mm-hmm. on, you know.
I bet there's not a lot of women who do that job.
Right. Well, you don't picture it, but what I'm saying is, would most guys and or their wives, like, would they be like, I'd prefer a dude do this? You know what I'm saying?
Most women, they don't have a prostate, right? So you're doing the pelvic exam. Most women prefer a woman to do that.
Right. My gynecologist
Absolutely.
Is gay.
Male? Right. Female.
Male.
Male. And but doesn't, you know, but not some just a lot of people, women don't care. But the thing is, for the urologist, a lot of guys don't like the male urologist because they really go to town because they're the experts and they're way up behind.
Ew.
Then you passing a Lee press on 2 days later is no picnic either.
No picnic.
Remember, by the way, your gynecologist says he's gay. Smart.
Yeah.
No, he really is.
Yeah.
He has a partner.
Smart.
It's worth high five every time you go to work.
You can tell when, I mean, he has a loving family with his partner.
Smart. Yeah. I do it too. That'd be my angle.
Partner.
You don't want to look at pussies all day.
Hold on. This boner has nothing to do with your pussy. It couldn't. I'm gay. I've adopted. I'm a loving partner. This is simply as nothing to do. Do not flatter yourself. I'm as gay as they come.
Well, I'll tell you what. It sure does make women want to have him be their doctor.
That's his point. It's the game.
He's also making a point that he's so turned on by random women's pussies all day. That he has a boner while he's working.
As he always says.
It's just good for business.
Yeah. There's no downside.
I'll give you an example. There are guys that are like, hey, I'm an attorney, but I specialize in like motorcycle accidents. And you go, okay. And then he goes, I ride too. Mm-hmm. And we go, okay. Now I like this guy. He rides too. Yeah. You know, it doesn't really make a difference, right. But he pretends to have a leather jacket and a Harley somewhere. He rides a Lexus, but now we like him. Not only for you, for your husband too. Like, it's cooler to think about the gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So it's good business.
He rides too.
He rides too. Mm-hmm. Ooh, there should be. You know, Drew. I want to get to your thing. I get to my thing. But you know, they have those like inspirational posters that they like hang
just
up.
Just hang in there,
and you could buy. Like, if you have a business, it's an eagle. So they should have fake gay families for straight male gynecologists. It's a picture you and two Asian kids and a good looking guy like at Griffith Park. Yeah. You know. Couple of those around,
right,
you know, it's like
him.
A whole kit. You know, there's some potpourri for the bathroom.
Really
there's
idea.
A whole 9 yards. You get it all. Comes in one package. You set it up. There you go. Mm-hmm. We'll have a little weird like rainbow flag charity thing hopper where you can put change into like at the front desk or something. We'll never say where it goes. It'll go into a meter or go into a slot machine. It'll be part of the package.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Natasha, do you have a heart out at
5? I have to leave at 5:30.
Okay. Well, entertain us for 2.5 minutes and then...
So do you guys like hang out a lot? Are you friends?
We're starting to do 5 days a week now.
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yes.
How cool.
Now. Yes.
That's what I'm here to promote, in fact.
Yes.
You called Loveline? Is that what I heard you say on the way walking?
No,
in?
We called one time I was on the show and we called you, but I really liked your dynamic. I had never heard Loveline, but I was very impressed with how open you guys are.
You can hear our podcast 5 days a week now.
There you go. Yeah,
Natasha.
Bloodline
shut down. Adam was kindly came in and hosted the last podcast. And it was, the last show of Bloodline was fun. And now he and I are going 5 days.
Is it like Dr. Ruth, kind of?
It's exactly like Dr. Ruth.
Exactly that.
Except Adam's there making jokes. It's entertaining.
I got to listen to this.
I listened to Dr. Ruth a billion years ago on the radio. And the guy said, I've been having sex. This just reminded me. I've been having sex with my girlfriend really consistently, and she's never gotten pregnant, but I don't use any protection. And she said, well, do you pull out? And he paused and he went, well, yeah, when I'm done. I just thought, I didn't know I would then have an entire life where I had these kinds of exchanges with people. But
Harry Harbinger, what was to come?
When I'm done. Natasha Leggero, everybody. The TV show Dice, Showtime, 9:30. We all know that. The stand-up tour, the honeymoon tour. You can go online. Go to her website, natashaleggero.com.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Mm.
We're doing relationship advice on our honeymoon tour. We're taking a little trailer. So in the trailer, we're going to have couples come in, and we're going to do some counseling,
too. Ooh, boy. Conjugal visits. I like that. All right, Natasha.
So email me if you want to be interviewed.
You got a heart out, so I don't want to step on that. But thanks for coming
and
kick some ass. All right, Drew. News. Poor.
Well, we get, let's
poor
talk about
Gina in her news. Let's just talk about us and go home.
Well, the news was that last episode was kind of fun, right? Last episode of Love Line.
Yeah,
you did a good job. You were nice. You were civil. Kathy Griffin showed up in the middle of it. That's nice.
Yeah, it's too big a kasha for me. You know,
It was the scene.
Well, I don't. I was always a kid where there's two kind of personalities. There's two wirings. People who hit the deck when they're kids. Now you're playing kids. I just got back from my kids' flag football game, and the kids running, they trip, they go down.
Right.
There's two wirings in a human being. One is I'm down. I'm hurt, maybe not that bad, but I'm going to lay here and writhe around because a large group of people will gather around me. They'll want to know if I'm okay. They'll pat me on the back. They'll help me up. I'll get a smattering of applause as I head back to the sideline. That's a kind of a wiring that a lot of people have. My wiring is I have a compound fracture, and I have to hop up as fast as I can and get to the sideline because I don't want people gathering around and making a thing about this because it's embarrassing or uncomfortable or whatever it is. So even though it's a happy fuss at Loveline, it's a fuss is a fuss. Thus, my wiring rejects it.
I'm kind of in your camp.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And so that's what we sort of hung out in the studio, you know what I mean?
All
the hubbub, as Brian said, was around us. But Kathy showing up, that was pretty kind of her. I mean, that was kind of nice. She does show up for things usually, right?
She came in and promoted a few tour dates.
It's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Same. Yeah. It was fun, though. I appreciate you doing that. Yes. But now we'll take off and do our own thing. So.
The problem was, Drew didn't tell me where we were doing it.
Oh.
I ended up at Westwood One with a very confused black security guard staring at me going, you're in the wrong place.
To be fair, he was probably confused before you got there.
Oh, yeah.
But I encountered the same confused man of color when I banged on the door, too, because what Dr. Drew and or anybody neglected to tell anybody else is they have moved, and we'd never gone to the new location. Right. So I like to cut it a little bit close anyway. And,
really? I never noticed that about you.
With about 9 minutes left, I found myself in a dark parking lot just going, I don't know where we're going. And then I figured it must be at K-Rock, but Culver City's a mess. I've never been able to figure out that place.
It's prime time, man.
Every street runs a different direction.
It's like a 45-degree angle. It's
yes,
not even 90.
There's if you stay on Overland, eventually you will...
It's my house.
you just can't... You will just get lost in Culver City. Like I worked at K-Rock, and I still was like, well, I have no idea where I am.
And
at
back
this point.
When we were at Westwood One, you and I, when it was down deeper in Culver City, it was a ghost town.
Yeah, just completely
utterly. Yeah,
it's turned into a hipster place with you know, a lot of microbrews and eateries and theaters and things like that. It was weird and dicey and dank and quiet and just nothing.
Yeah. Desolate.
I can't picture Culver City that way.
Oh, burned out.
That's crazy.
It's weird because I can't picture it this way.
Yeah.
It's been so many years
deserted.
Of just going leaving Loveline at midnight and just having nothing.
And that Culver Hotel was like, imagine a crack hotel in the Lower East Side of New York.
Oh,
like, yeah. Why is this still
fancy
here?
Fancy hotel.
Yeah, people are like, oh, what is this? Who would stay here?
I was shocked to find it was still a functioning hotel. I thought it was like a relic.
I did too. But now it's a set. Beautiful thing.
I remember a kind of a very sullen, damaged Robert Blake. Robert Blake, before all the hubbub.
Yeah.
Robert Blake, who had the world's worst childhood, like sort of pointed at that hotel and said, like, I stay there with my mom when we're filming like Spanky and Our Gang or whatever, where Little Rascals or whatever he was forced to do when he was seven or whatever. But he was pointed at that place and had bad memories.
Yeah. It sounds boring as hell, but go ahead.
Robert Blake.
Is that him?
That's him. Mm. They wanted to go back into the whole thing. He's like, no thanks.
It sounds boring as hell, but go ahead.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that with Piers Morgan? Or is that
it was one of those shows, yeah.
He was pointing the hotel, and he's like, makes me want to eat Italian food and shoot somebody.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow.
That's a bit of a really slip specific. The tongue. It's a Freudian slip right there.
All right, we're back. That was Natasha Leggero and the Two Doctors.
It was a great episode, and Natasha's actually awesome. She was on one of the episodes where I came in as a guest, and she was like a fill-in news girl. I don't know if she was actually auditioning or just being cool, and I was really nervous about it because I'm like, she's a real guest. Why am I on there? This is going to be weird, man. Why am I going to do this? And she was totally cool and nice to me. It didn't make me feel uncomfortable at all, and I was like, oh, her comedic character really is a character.
Yeah, she is very, very nice. And Drew, I must say, even to this day, whenever he comes in the studio, because they'll usually tape an Adam and Drew show after the Corolla show. So once Drew gets in, he kind of just hangs out in the engineering room in the window and just kind of peeking in like, what's going on there? Who's the guest? What's going on? And Adam just stared out through the window like, we'll get to you, Drew. We're going to do the show afterward. But yeah, a lot of the times Drew's in the engineering room with us. And sometimes we do have him chime in, especially if we're talking about homeless or health.
I didn't know that. That's really cute.
Traffic fever. Yeah. Yeah, love Drew. It's always great when he comes in. Same with Bruce, too. All right, this next clip, a listener request. All right, who sent us this one, Gio?
This one comes from Big Chino Don on Twitter. He writes, hey, Giovanni Giorgio and Chris Loxamana. He included you this time.
Aw.
A good bit for Corolla Classics would be the origin of the now banned drop that Gina uses that refers to one of my favorite actresses, Ruth Negga. I actually found it. It took me weeks to find. It was really difficult. It's from Adam Carolla Show 1970, featuring Def Rat Guy, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. I left it a little bit of space with Def Rat Guy, because how can you not? And you actually get the source and origin of that infamous drop, where Gina does some assuming, and Brian does some clipping.
Wow.
Speaking of movies, there's a movie I want to see. It's that Donald Trump orgy tape.
There's a Donald Trump orgy tape?
Yeah, wow. In Moscow. That's why that he's giving all the appointments to Russian dudes. Because
he's giving appointments to Russian dudes?
Putin has a blackmail tape of Donald Trump in an orgy in Moscow.
Wow.
And that's why it's like,
that's quite...
your Secretary of Oil, you're the head of, you know, Russia...
Exactly. Mm. Right. Did not know that.
It's Donald Trump apparently getting down in an orgy in Moscow. I can't wait to see
this. How do you know about this tape?
The internet.
Wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. That's why he's so pro-Russia.
Wow.
Because he's like, dude, release that tape.
This would explain.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Wait. It's going to get very interesting.
All right.
It's one of the rest of the movies.
Yeah, so
actually, I don't know.
Well,
this is, and again, these are not huge blockbusters that you're probably familiar with. Manchester by the Sea, which has gotten great reviews.
I have not seen it yet.
Moonlight, which has also gotten great reviews. It seemed like more of an indie movie. Mm-hmm. Coming of age, possibly struggling with your sexuality, young African-American men. I don't know. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. And Lion.
What is Lion?
I just read the synopsis. It's Nicole Kidman, and that's the only person that you probably would have heard of in the movie.
They did a 60-minute segment on it this weekend.
What big movies could have gotten mixed into this year.
Thanks for bringing that up. I don't know off the top of my head, but what I was going to say is I'll meet you halfway and say I don't know about the box office minimum for the awards, but I do wish they acknowledged the bigger budget movies that were excellent. Like, my favorite movie for a few years ago was Looper, and Looper got no Academy Award love, and I was, that's a great movie. That's a very enjoyable, really well-done movie. Mm-hmm. Edge of Tomorrow was a couple years ago, and that was a really good movie, and these are movies that should probably be up for some more awards.
And what about Straight Outta Compton? Snubbed again?
Right?
Oh, man. I'm pissed. So
we loved Arrival.
Arrival's great.
It's awesome. Now, the only movie, I think, in the comedy or musical category, that I think you've only heard of one movie. I think definitely you've only seen one of them. One is 20th Century Women. The other is Florence Foster Jenkins.
Wow, I'm spending so much time watching young black men struggling with their sexuality. There's really no don't time have time for the 20th Century gals.
Understood.
But continue.
La La Land, which I think you're going to see.
I was getting close, but we went on a cruise, but yes.
Sing Street and Deadpool.
Wow.
Oh, strong. Deadpool's in there.
Yeah. Deadpool's great.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's enjoyable.
So
movie.
That's pretty much the only movie you will probably have seen. Other than that, for Best Actor, Ryan Reynolds is up for Deadpool and Jonah Hill's up for War Dogs. I don't think you've seen or possibly heard of any of these other people.
All right. Well, I'm thinking about Jimmy now. Tough names to pronounce. There's got that African chick in there. That's a disaster.
For Best Actress in a Drama, there's Isabel.
I mean, not spiritually, Lupini, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep. Yeah. Isabel Huppert, Ruth Negga.
Easy. Oh, that's close.
With
easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Dude, why do you have to go there?
N-E-G-G-A. Negga, I assume.
Doesn't matter how you spell it.
Brian, don't. They go Viggo Mortensen, Joel Edgerton.
You know what we got to do? It would be funny. It'd be a very elaborate prank. But just put together a whole panel for fake talk show where you're just goofing on the talk show host. And the panel would be like, well, we have a political correspondent, Niger Ennis, and this gal,
Ruth,
the actress.
Ruth Negga.
Ruth Negga's on there. Of course, Hall of Famer Dick Butkus. And you have all eight people, and the poor person would just be struggling on the edge.
Former Minnesota Twins outfielder Rusty Kuntz.
Right. Just on that edge the entire time. So, till next time, this is Adam for the DFG, and Gina and Bald saying, mahalo. Don't chime in here, Gina.
And that was the origin of Gina's infamous drop, which she has banned when Brian gave her the opportunity to pick any drop, and it shall be banned. I don't know if the ban stood, because I still
think... No, he's used it since. It's funny, people online, some listeners object to it. They're like, oh, how dare Brian? At first he was just using it because it was funny, and now he's using it... he's a racist. It's like, no, that's not what's happening. Ruth Negga is a great actress. She's in a ton of different projects. She's currently on Preacher. She's amazing. And there was Gina struggling with a little pronunciation this year, and Brian caught a rare clip.
Be very careful when you're on the Adam Carolla show, because you never know what he's gonna grab. Brian is brilliant at just getting all of those drops and picking them out of context. And
it's why we love playing him.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I am lucky because where I stand during the show, I can see when he presses record. So it's always just really exciting to when I hear something and see if he grabs it or not. And well, I think a lot of people play along
too. When I write
too.
The sidebars, I always like, oh, a choice drop. I hope Brian gets it.
Before we get into this next clip, just a reminder, if you want to hear the full versions of these episodes, where do they go, Gio?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts, the entire 10-plus years of The Adam Carolla Show, the full archive is available. You can find any of these clips we play today, listen to the full episodes. You can find everything they've ever done. Anything you listen to, you hear a great clip, you want us to play it, let us know. We will play it.
Yes. And this clip is apropos to something that happened earlier this week, too. Well, happened about 5 years ago, but we talked about it this week, is when Bob Odenkirk, star of Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad... very funny comedian. He asked Adam, he reached out to Adam and asked him for his Paul Newman documentary if he could send it because his buddy wanted to watch it. And Adam was wondering who that buddy was because we know that it was a celebrity. We're still trying to figure it out. But Bob Odenkirk was actually on the show back in 2009.
He was. He came on. He was a great guest. It's episode 73. It's from May of 2009. This is before David Cross actually came in studio. As one half of Mr. Show, Bob Odenkirk. And he's promoting Breaking Bad at the time, before Better Call Saul. And that's now going into, I think it's second to last season. And it's really interesting to hear different period of time where he's just, he's a cast member in Breaking Bad. And he was super effusive with praise for Adam and kind. And it was really interesting because Mr. Show was always used as a counterpoint to the Man Show. Smart comedy versus dumb comedy. And the two guys on Mr. Show don't harbor any of that inside of them or even think about that. It's just funny to hear that play out on air.
Agreed. Check it out. Bob Odenkirk from 2009.
Theory, I know what happens is people donate to the Live Strong thing,
right.
And then they get the Live Strong bracelet,
right.
And then they wear that fucking thing everywhere,
right?
And I think I was complaining about this the other week, but I was I was driving down Ventura Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
And firemen did that thing where they stop at the intersection, they put the boot out. And you I threw $20 into the boot of the fireman. That's when they're collecting money. That's essentially their G-string,
right?
It's the boot. That's what firemen use.
A rubber boot.
And you throw the money into the boot. And they collect the money for the fireman's fund or whatever. Right. And they'll just go out on once a year. They'll go out on Ventura Boulevard and they'll just basically stop traffic. And everyone loves firemen. And everyone throws money into the boot. And then when I threw the money into the boot, they gave me a sticker.
Right.
And that sticker said, I gave to juvenile diabetes or whatever the fuck it said. Right, and the guy said, here you go.
Yeah.
And I said, keep the 20, keep the sticker. I'm cool. And he's like, don't you want the sticker? And I'm like, I don't want to be one of these jackoffs that puts the sticker on and then shows up at work. Hey, guess who's better than everyone?
Yeah, recognize the sticker.
Yeah.
Respect.
Somebody slowed down on Ventura long enough to throw some cash into a boot.
Because
I guess you guys are all in love with juvenile diabetes, but there's one fella who works on this floor who doesn't like it.
So much.
Not so much. I don't want to get rid of it.
I don't want to fight with anybody. But
by the way, you'll see there's another little sticker that announces that I voted in the last election. So that makes me a little better than you. And we're halfway here. Oh, look out. Turns out I gave blood.
Yeah,
I gave some blood. Here's another sticker.
Look at me.
And I think, really, now we're living in a fucking society where you got a fucking sticker. You get a sticker. Yeah. Like, when your dad gave blood or your dad voted, do you think someone gave him a sticker?
Right.
Our fucking parents, they came home from Vietnam.
Stuff.
The people that came home from World War II didn't get a fucking sticker.
Right.
Now you got to get a sticker to let everyone in your office know, I voted.
Look at me.
Look at me. Hey, guess who just got his
look
teeth
at me
cleaned?
Go.
Right here, got my teeth cleaned. Look at that. See that sticker?
Yeah.
Look how much better I am than you.
Right.
Bet you, would you and like me to bracelets. Loan you one of my voting stickers?
Right.
So people think you're good? Or how about I just gave blood. You know what I did? I gave blood on the way to voting. Actually, I was going down Ventura. Mm-hmm. I threw $20 in the boot. I got this sticker. Then I went by the Red Cross. I gave some blood. And then I swung by that old woman's place's garage, and I voted. Look at that trifecta. Look at all these stickers. I'm like a general in the sticker
army.
Get
it embroidered on your shirt.
Yeah. See how much better I am? How big a douchebag do you have to be to wear that sticker around?
Massive.
But you know how many people I saw, even people I respect.
Well, you know, the word douchebag gets tossed around a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like the word genius.
Mm-hmm.
Those two words get thrown around in Hollywood so much that they've lost a lot of power.
Yeah.
But people don't remember that they used to mean something.
No, it's
genius was a qualification that you could be.
Yeah.
I don't know what your IQ had to be, but Einstein was a true genius.
Now, everyone's a genius and everyone else is a douchebag.
You know, Rob Schneider is a true douchebag.
He is, yes.
I say I don't know Rob that well.
I know his reputation.
But a douchebag was a real thing, right?
Listen,
back in the Middle Ages, it was a bag probably made out of calf skin.
Not in the Middle Ages.
Well,
I mean,
there were douchettes and things made in the early 1900s. I don't know if they were called douchebags.
Well, there's a couple takes. First off, we have fucked out the douchebag just like the Brits and genius.
And genius.
Just like the Brits fucked out cunt.
That's right.
The Brits call everyone a cunt.
Right.
And they're like, they'll be sitting at a pub, and a couple of their dude friends will come in and go, "Hey, you cunt, pick me up a pint."
Right.
And they call everyone cunt, and now cunt has lost its meaning.
Right.
Whereas we're smart.
Doctors can't even use it. Technically.
You have a problem with your cunt.
My friend? What's wrong with my friend? No, you're a cunt.
We have not fucked out the cunt thing, so it's like
right.
if you
so
ever
we can use it here.
Well, no, what I'm saying is if you're in England and you get into a huge fight with your wife and you call her cunt, it's no big deal.
Yeah, people won't even.
We have it as our little that's our derringer in our boot. Right, you know what I mean? Right. Like. If I ever get into it with my wife to the point where it reaches that level, I can go for the cunt.
Right.
And it will hit with full impact. Right. It's their N-word, you know?
Right.
And it's awesome that we've kept that status.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're
it's
saying
it's a nuclear option.
It's right. And no one wants to have to go to, you know, DEFCON 5 with their old lady.
I've only done it once in my life.
Really?
Yeah, one time. And
you called the woman a cunt?
Yes.
Yeah.
One time. She was being a cunt.
And did she freak when you called her up?
I think she gets called cunt a lot. This
oh,
moment.
Maybe that's it. But this is our mutually assured destruction. Or assured destruction, which is we don't want to have to go there, but we will launch on your ass and we'll destroy the planet with our cunt.
Right.
And in England, they don't have that.
Right.
They
have to say something like, "I hate you now."
Right.
Just simply hate you.
We
that's more powerful than cunt.
Imagine
that.
We did it with douchebag.
Yeah.
We fucked out douchebag.
That's right. Douchebag is just, you don't even remember, that's my point, that it used to mean a thing.
Right.
That people were probably not at all ashamed or.
I think my grandma had one hanging off her door.
Sure she did. She had a cunt, right?
She is. I mean, she did. I mean, she does.
So she needed a douchebag.
I would
back
say,
then.
If
you had a cunt,
you had a douchebag.
Of course.
When you got issued your cunt, you got issued a douchebag. I have said this, and it's something I've tried, you know, with some degree of success. I wanted to start calling people douche nozzles because that's the business end of the douche bag, nozzle.
I see.
You know, the bag is hanging up there on the back of the bathroom door, but the nozzle, that's the part, that's the business end. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I also, if you just put it, like you picture it this way, like you go, it could be used, like you could picture like a New York cabbie riding the horn, yelling, "Come on, you douche nozzle, get moving."
Right.
And you could imagine like a construction foreman going, you know, a bunch of guys sitting on some drywall. "Hey, let's go, douche nozzles. Let's get back to work."
I don't know whether you're arguing for it as being. It seems like you're arguing for it as a more fun word to hear and somehow more meaningful. But it seems more lighthearted than douchebag. Bag is a pretty. Hits pretty hard, but it doesn't. Again, I agree with you that it's lost all meaning.
I'm just saying,
but we still have cunt, so we're okay.
I know, but you can't call Rob Schneider a cunt.
No, I would never do that.
I know,
never.
But the point is, it's confusing,
and it's confusing. And
I'm just saying, douche nozzle. It might be time to replace the douche bag with the douche nozzle. That's all I'm
okay.
saying.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take that under consideration.
And then, you know, another thing I was thinking about was.
Right.
They're guys, you know, wherever the Massengale plant is, you know, Battle Creek, Michigan, or Pueblo, Colorado, wherever it is, the Massengale factory, the place that manufactures the most douche and the douche nozzles and the disposable douche and all
imagine,
that.
If you call somebody
I bet you 90% of the people that work there are dudes,
right? And they're proud of their work.
That's got to be...
They're craftsmen on some level.
That's got to be rough. Like, hey, what do you do? I'm an attorney. What do you do? I'm a fireman. What do you do? I work at the douche factory.
I work at the douche works.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I'm in the douche department of the douchebag factory.
You work at Matt?
You drive by it every day. It smells like a douche.
Yeah.
That big
giant. Yeah, it smells like lilac. You work there? They have guys who work there?
Yeah, a lot of guys.
What department are you in?
The douche part.
You manufacture?
I'm on the douche floor. They got me on the douche floor.
So you just work like a pallet jack dragging around
douche
all day?
No, I work a douche stamp.
Oh, so you do the douche, you stamp the douche bottle?
I actually make them. The bags.
There are dudes. They're all dudes who work there, right?
Yeah, but they probably say, I make hygiene products.
I don't know.
Of course they do. But their softball team says, hygiene gang.
Yeah.
It doesn't say the douchebags.
You don't think the company the softball team?
The douche nozzles. No.
Okay. I'm just wondering where the Massengale plant is.
And they all hang together in a group, and they never leave their group, so that never happens. What you just described would not happen because they stick together like glue.
They have each other's
back. And
they
never have to be embarrassed to say, how's it going down on the douche floor?
So
great. How's it going up on the douche viewing circuit or whatever?
So like if they were at a bar on a Saturday night and a couple of lumberjacks pulled in and were like, where do you work? There'd be other guys from your douche factory that would back you up.
It would be like a Steven Seagal film.
Yeah, there'd be that move where the one guy who works in shipping is shooting pool, but he looks up because he senses trouble.
Watch
out. They call him Tiny.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a pool cue over your head,
Do you think they call each other douchebag, or do you think that's one of those things where like, no, we don't discuss
that. They're American guys. I think they probably do for a laugh. It's like a big joke to them. It's not an insult, and it's not. It's probably a big. They're probably joking all the time about what they do. They're probably throwing douchebags at each other and laughing all day long.
Do you think it's like,
idiot, look at this.
You think it's like other plants?
Blowing
like,
them up.
I got a friend that works for the Budweiser plant out here in Van Nuys, and he gets like a case of Bud and a case of Miller Lite or something every, or Bud Light. He gets like a case of Bud and a case of Bud Light once a month. Like everyone who works there just gets a case of it. He doesn't even drink.
Right.
But he just gets a couple cases of beer. That's part of the deal.
Right.
Do you think if you work at the Massengale factory, you get a couple cases of
douche? You probably get defects.
Like seconds?
Seconds.
Donnie, could you find out where the fucking Massengale factory is already?
And you know what else? Because we talked about it at such great length, are probably going to get a case of free douchebags.
But so, like, let's say
now, let me ask you this. If there was a tour,
do you think
they would have the ancient forms of douchebags to show people how we've progressed.
Yeah.
And how the cave people had leaves that were sewn into a baggish.
They used cat intestine
to
run the douche.
Cat intestine.
Yeah.
And it was unseemly.
Yeah, it'd be like a diorama.
But you did what you had to do.
Right.
And that was the ancient times.
Yeah, they would have
like
the mannequins.
Condoms were made out of yarn. And,
and I knew they were made fabric of chainmail at a certain
chain
point.
Chainmail during the Middle Ages. It was very dangerous.
Ribbed for her pleasure. not effective. Plus, her getting pregnant and tetanus was probably a bad 1-2 punch. But, the earliest ones were probably just made of innards. Like...
Yeah, they were made of innards. They were made of, like, they still make them out of, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I haven't used one for
whatever,
a while.
Whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
No, I know, because you just, I know what you're saying. So, there must be some evolution of the douchebag. But, so, if you
I mean, we joke about it.
We joke, but
people use the word in jest.
But
in
if you
a lighthearted slam.
If you work at the Massengale plant. Just like my buddy who works at the Budweiser plant.
Right.
Are you walking with a case of douche every month, like on the first of every month? And then I know you thought seconds, you know, sure, this nozzle's bent at a 90-degree angle.
You can have it.
This one says Gassengale.
Give it to Adam. He loves it.
Yeah,
he takes them all home. He makes things out of
them. Don't you think you could get the douche?
I think he could. I think they would be happy to give it to you a little bit every month as a reward for doing a great job.
Well, it just means you worked at a donut factory or cookie
sure,
factory.
Sure, you get to you take whatever home yeah, you're kind of making, almost anything. Right? Almost yeah. anything except radioactive materials, I would assume they right. would say, you know, you got to leave that here.
Right. So, yeah, if you're part of the Manhattan Project, you right. probably don't get to bring
don't
home mementos.
Home.
But I'm just saying now, if you yeah, were working at the Massengale yeah. factory
right.
and you're a single dude,
right.
but somebody said, here's a case of douche, and you knew, hey, it had a value to it.
Right.
Why not take it?
Sell it.
Sell it out of a van.
Right.
You know, or give it away to a loved one. Like, hey, Mom. Right. When she'd be
give
like,
it as a little,
boy,
like,
this Christmas present's really heavy.
Right, right.
Well,
right.
case of douche isn't light these days. You know, I don't know. I feel like I would take it with me.
The point is you would be happy if that would be a perk for you.
If I was getting $11 an hour working a conveyor belt with douchebags going by it, two every 14 seconds,
right.
and I had to check the main seal on it or an O-ring or whatever right. they have on it,
right.
and somebody said you can take a case of douche home on the first of every month, I would take it home.
Yeah.
I
well,
would either sell it on eBay or give it
that,
to my sister.
I would argue that if they're doing that, and I would say don't do that, I would advise the company not to do that or to stop that now.
You would.
If they were listening to me right now,
yeah.
I would say stop that program, whatever you call it, where you give it away, because there's a lot of guys.
Produce show.
And there are probably a lot of single guys. There are a lot of guys who have got a divorce. Things are rough. When you work in a plant, you work long hours, and you go home and beat your wife, you get very upset.
Right.
You do those kinds of jobs. And they are not giving those douches away. They're not selling them at little douche lemonade stands. They are putting them in the basement. They don't know what to do with them. They're stacking them in their car. They're getting old, and they're just rotting.
All right. So
a lot of guys would take it home, stack it. I don't know what to do with it. Someday I'll meet a girl. She'll
need
it. And they're not meeting that girl.
I agree.
And there's basements full of that stuff.
But Bob, let me just play devil's advocate for a second.
Please.
You've got...
We're going to sort this out.
You've got 20 years at the Massengale plant.
All right.
Nobody knows douche.
Like me.
Like Bob Odenkirk.
Thank you.
All right?
Yes.
Very important.
I like to think I learned something day to day, year to year.
Absolutely. You know the douche
bag. I've got five
you know
stars.
Nobody knows the douche game like Odenkirk.
And you get some kind of thing that shows that. People know from
and then, oh,
some,
just
some
look,
signification.
Look in your eye.
You're
when
right.
a man's seen as much douche as you've seen over the years.
Right.
And now they decide to implement your policy where they cut you off. No case
can't
of douche.
Can't take it home.
Can't take it home. No case of douche. New mandate.
Can't take
no,
it with
No, can't
you.
Take it home. Now, a headhunter from Summer's Eve comes around.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, we're doing a little cherry picking. We're looking for a guy. You know, we like the cut of your jib, Odenkirk. And we're looking to bring someone over to the Summer's Eve plant. And you're like, do you guys give away a case of
Wait
douche
a second. I would
at the end of every
year? Never ask that question.
I'm just saying, it's bound to come up.
I don't think that is a fait accompli.
I do. I mean, at some point in the negotiations, it's going to come up. You know,
I mean,
you won't
I,
be talking about it on
I
the
quarrel,
douche floor.
I quarrel with your premise, but let's say it did come up. Let's say anything can happen, and that came up, and there was extensive negotiations because I have a reputation.
Right.
For being a douche man.
Right.
And having the eye, as they call him.
Yeah,
then maybe my nickname would be The Eye.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Ask The Eye.
He
doesn't even need to come down on the douche floor. He can look at it from up in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the crow's nest.
Yeah, you're
there's
like
gotta be
the Fonzie
a crow's
of
nest.
Douche. You, right. know, you just pow, you give the thing, and the conveyor belt starts up again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let's say it came up. I believe, and I'm being totally serious, and I'm taking everything in right now that you said, and I think I'm being honest. I would say I don't need free douche. What else you got?
Well,
now Summer's Eve could win me over with a million other things.
It could be a company car. Could be a credit card.
A golf membership to some
exclusive
nice
club. No, I'm just saying for you and the other guys.
I would not be swayed by that.
Okay, maybe not personally.
Because by then I would have seen so many douches. That I really think the impact of it would... You know how people get.
No, you
get the most wonderful thing in the world.
Right.
You ask somebody who works at Roots Chris Steakhouse if they'd
like
some
steak. Never want to see another steak.
never no, and I know. See
and,
another
and
steak.
The first day out on the floor of the douche factory, you're like a kid at Christmas time. Saucer eyed, wide open, marveling. You can't believe it.
Calling people.
Guess where I am. Nope. Guess again. Oval Office? Please suck my cock. Guess again. French Riviera? No, not even close. Monte Carlo? Not even close.
Better.
That's first day, and then you get to the 20th day, and you're a little jaded.
Right, but you've seen it all. You're 20, and you're like, if I never see another douche up close, if I never handle one in my hands, smell it with my nose.
There are other guys.
I'll be fine.
In the factory that are married, who have wives, who do use the product,
right,
and who might be swayed to go over to the Summer's Eve plant if you enacted your policy of no free case of douche on the first of every month. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's the only point I was trying to make.
I would say that if you work there, you probably have a rule in your house, no talking about work with the kids around. And your wife would not, it would be like working in a porn shop. You would not talk about it outside.
I'll tell you what would happen with me if I got the free case of douche every
month. What if you got free porn? What if you worked at a porn magazine, but it was a fetish magazine, they only published one? I know that the people who make those kinds of things make like everything, right? But let's say they only made one.
Right.
Knees.
No.
Now, somebody likes knees, dude.
I know, but I'm still leaving that case at home. I'm saying if I brought home the case of douche,
yeah,
I would probably start finding other applications for it. Like you'd hear somewhere in year number three where I go, you know, it can be used as salad dressing. It's not bad. It's low-cal.
You can lube something with this someday. I'll find out.
You can definitely use it to flush a radiator.
Right,
not a lot of there's not a big difference between a cunt and a radiator.
Oh my god! Back to cunt.
It can be used to clean windows. Like,
can you say friend in a radiator instead of cunt?
A friend in a radiator. Yeah, I feel British like friend. I would find.
What if we start using the word British friend? Combined to mean cunt.
Okay, your British friend. Yeah, I like that.
You bitch, you British friend.
Yeah, it's still bumpy.
He's trying too hard. It's a little like David Mamet there.
I feel like we'd do another 20 minutes on douche.
I know, boy. I think we wipe people out.
I really...
A lot of people tuned out during that.
I don't know.
But it was
like
fun.
I found some new some
It was
new
fun.
Listeners.
I always like taking stuff apart like that.
Well, Bob, do you have... are there any... is there a website?
Am I doing anything with my career?
Yeah, well, we know you are, but I just mean...
No, I'm on Breaking Bad. Did you know
that? Oh, yeah, I love Breaking Bad.
I got a call from Vince Gilligan, who writes that show, and he asked me if I would like to play a sleazy lawyer on this show. And it's a great, great show. Is there a picture of me on the website? I don't see
it
one.
It is...
You might be able to find me in there somewhere. I think I did something for the web.
We had Cranston on the show.
You did?
Yes, on this podcast.
He's so good.
Total douchebag.
Yes.
And no,
he's
great guy.
So good.
And the show, I mean, critically, I don't know if anything since Mad Men has been received so well in the last year and a half. And I know it's been
on
for...
Go through the photos on the last... on episode... Go through photos. Hold it. Go down.
We're looking at the computer here. Bob Odenkirk's looking for pictures of himself.
One of those has photos of me. One of the last four episodes.
Yep. One of the best shows on television, if not the best show. So that's fun for you. You get to be an actor.
It's fantastic. It's so great. Yeah.
And how does it work? I mean, somebody calls you and says you want to play a lawyer on Breaking Bad?
Vince asked me, and I said yes, of course, and that was it. And then I got the script, and the part was bigger than the parts I usually do. I usually do character parts that are, you know, a few lines, one scene or two.
Right.
And it kind of, there was a lot to do.
Right.
I mean, it's an hour-long show, and I've also never been on an hour show. There's a lot of dialogue in those shows. And whatever, that was kind of fun and also a little intimidating. But it was great. You know, I think I had to work on it more because there was more to say. You can't just kind of riff it easily. You kind of got to figure out who this person is who talks that much.
There's certain gigs where you can just sort of show up and go, I'll learn my lines when I'm in makeup. And
yeah.
And there's certain gigs where you have to burn a few calories.
Well, that was, actually, it was definitely that. And it was very, it made me a little nervous because the show is so well liked. And, you know, when you have diehard fans like that, they can get very upset about the least little change.
And not only that, but you're in some pretty heavy company there.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone
Cranston
on the show
is unreal.
Is really.
He's going to have to depressurize after he plays this guy for, like, he's going to have to go to Hawaii for a decade.
Yeah, well, I, like I said, I talked to him. He's a Valley guy. Grew up in Chatsworth. And by the way, like in the 50s and 60s when there was nothing there. Literally told a story about riding horses up in Chatsworth and past Charles Manson and had his, you know, over in Spahn Ranch where Manson was set up in Chatsworth. And the guy, his like cousin, like said, that's Charlie Manson. That guy's trouble. Like, stay away from him. And just kept riding. Like, just salt of the earth. Coolest guy on the planet. And as I've said before, you know, has more money than he needs from Malcolm in the Middle. So whatever, when a guy does a project and he already has money, there's a good chance it's a good project.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need to work, so he's only going to do the shit that's actually speaks to him and is of a higher quality.
Well, that's a theory. I don't know. I wish that was true.
Well, I wish it was true, too, because there's a, I mean, there's a little show called Baywatch Nights, which would beg to differ with that theory, which is, I remember, it's like, it was an incredible conversation I had with someone who was on Baywatch Nights.
Right.
Which was Baywatch Nights was Baywatch meets, like, the supernatural, meets, like, Kolchak, the ghost hunter, or whatever that show was. And it was literally...
So there's ghosts that are drowning?
It was literally like, it was like, this week he's going after Sasquatch, but Sasquatch is under the pier. And I was talking to someone and I said, what's Hasselhoff doing? I mean, the guy's a billionaire. He owns the biggest show ever. It's syndicated in 5,000 countries,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Why is he doing Baywatch Nights? Right. And it's like, his love of the craft. And I was like, what? Churning out shit?
No.
I mean, what the
his
fuck?
Love of shit.
And then, well, we've come full circle to Carrot Top, by the way. I think this is a good place to wrap it up, unless you want to talk more about Deuce.
No. I'm good.
All right, and that is Corolla Classics for this lovely Saturday. What a great month of August it's been. We'll be back tomorrow to kick off your September and your Sunday. So enjoy this extended weekend. We'll be back Labor Day, too, so we got...
Two more episodes.
A lot of Corolla Classics. That's right, Gio. So we'll see you tomorrow. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.